Speaking of people and teams that have made us look like fools, Josh, I think it's a pretty good way to get into some Euros chat because there's one national team that is making you and many other pundits, in fairness, look very stupid, and that's a team that lost 3-1 overnight and are out without a single point, Turkey. Where did it all go wrong, JP?
I don't know. I really thought going into this tournament that they were going to continue their qualifying form. Defensively, so resilient. They were absolutely incredible in qualifying. They were impenetrable at the back. And Burak Yılmaz was in the form of his life, age 35. The other thing I used as a predictor, which obviously went horribly wrong, was the fact that a lot of good international sides have been based on the core of a few club players playing together. Mm. And they had a Lille core. So they've just won Ligue 1 with three players, a right back, central midfielder, and Yılmaz up front.
Yeah.
All starting for that Lille team and all playing together for Turkey as well. And I thought that was a great sign of team cohesion, especially combined with their really good qualifying record. I didn't think they were going to be super fun to watch, but I thought they'd get results. And they've just been horrendous. They have had no way to move the ball through midfield whatsoever. I don't think Hakan Çalhanoğlu has really done his chances of an AC Milan contract extension any good.
Yeah, that's the craziest part of it for me. It's like, this is, you know, for Hakan, this is your chance to, you know, he's got maybe one big money move left in his career as a free agent. Like, this is it. This is last chance saloon for him in terms of making bank, for want of a better expression. And he's completely flopped.
He just kind of sucks on the wing, though. They've been playing him on the left wing the entire time.
That's
and he's way better as a 10. He's way better as a 10 because he doesn't have to rely on his pace that doesn't exist.
Yeah. One interesting point as well is, like, there's not just, you know, difference in position, but the way that Milan play is, like, very structured, lots of patterns, and then Çalhanoğlu is like the exception. He's sort of the one with the creative license, can do the chaotic stuff. Whereas
it's all about final ball for him as well.
Exactly. Whereas you chuck him in a Turkey side where the whole thing is chaos, it just does not translate at all. So Turkey are the public enemy number one of the football pundit sphere.
I will put a caveat. They have been poor, but. And they've come up against three sides who've brought their absolute best football on each of those three occasions. Italy, second half, as soon as they got the breakthrough, were breathtaking in that first game in Rome. Wales had their best tournament performance since the 2016, well, best performance full stop, I should say, since the 2016 Euros when they played against them there. Gareth Bale was in absolutely inspired form. Aaron Ramsey was ripping it apart. It was, from 1 to 11, just a magnificent Wales performance. And then Switzerland really brought it in this game as well. I mean, I don't think Turkey did themselves any favours with their transition defending. And they really had to risk going forward, committing numbers forward in this game, which has never been the way that they've played in qualifying.
Yeah, well, you saw that the minute they really pushed the pace after they got that
they
goal
conceded
back.
Straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
They conceded straight away. So, yeah. But the quality of the finishing for Switzerland, some of those goals, I mean, Shaqiri was amazing in this fixture. He could have had a hat-trick. He should have.
Of the evening, definitely the game for the neutral watcher.
I should have watched this game instead of Italy. I don't know why I watched second-string Italy grind out a boring 1-0 against 10-man
Josh,
Wales.
If it makes you feel any better, you weren't the only one made to look silly from last night's results because Turkey embarrassed you, but I was also embarrassed by the fact that the opening scorer for this game was none other than Haris Seferovic, a player I described privately to you as the best worst striker I've ever seen.
He's been a figure of sort of fascination and fun for us.
Yeah, it's so strange because he's clearly got a few ideas about how he fits in, what he should be doing with back to goal. But when it comes to the actual, you know, general play, solid, not bad. But when it comes to the actual nuts and bolts of what makes a striker, he's just so bad. He's terrible at finishing.
He looks so hapless. He looks like, is it Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off? It looks like everything would just the worst possible thing would always happen to him. That's why how I felt about him in major tournaments. This is a bad luck Brian of international
football. He just feels tacked on. Like, he feels like the weird key, the novelty key ring you add to all the other important keys that are in there. But anyway, Switzerland leave themselves a good chance of qualifying as a third place team. A pretty decent chance.
I think they will. I think 4 points should be enough.
We'll be ashamed to see them eventually lose their third place privileges to Scotland, who are obviously beating Croatia in a few days' time. On Thursday morning, it's definitely happening. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about
if
that.
Scotland
group
win by a goal, then it's going to be interesting.
They will win, so they will have to win by a goal.
Yeah, but if Scotland win by a goal, they'll still be down on goals scored, depending on the scoreline.
Well,
it's going to be even goal difference.
Just have to tell Lyndon.
So you're going to have to
score two or
three. You're
going
to beat Croatia by two to finish ahead of Switzerland in the rankings. I don't think Switzerland are the third place team to beat, honestly. I think there'll be other teams finishing on two and 3 points.
Well, above them is Wales, who went down 1-0 to Italy last night, a second string Italy. This was a bit of a weird game.
Yeah, Verratti was very good. He was the highlight of watching it. Seeing him back fully fit. I don't think he was even fully fit, to be honest, but he still tore it up. Very, very good set-piece delivery on the goal. It was really unorthodox, low, whipped cross, and Pessina only had to give it a little flick at the near post and went straight in. I think Wales had their best chance of the game after Ampadu got sent off, didn't they? When did the Bale chance come?
Yeah, I think it was after that.
He just has to score that. I mean, he's 8 yards out. I mean, the player that you want it to fall to the most on his left foot from so close with nobody even near him. Yeah. I mean, Gareth Bale just has to put that in the back of the net.
I know the logic doesn't quite translate, but it is always very strange to me when you see a player who is well known for scoring spectacular goals, and in particular, the goal in the Champions League final against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, not saying that that was an easy chance that he had, but for him to then miss, for a player to then miss a comparatively easier chance to this complete wonder goal that they've scored. I always just find that so funny. Like, I always get that feeling with Zlatan, like, if he misses a chance, not that it happens too often, I'm like, you've scored a bicycle kick from, like, 30-plus yards. Surely this is just, you can do this blindfolded. But, as you said, Marco Verratti bossed this game. Does present a problem for Italy, however, in terms of how they balance that midfield, because obviously, Locatelli was the player who dropped out, and Locatelli has been very good in this tournament so far. Fun fact, Locatelli has had more shots on target this tournament than England, than the nation of England.
That's pretty funny.
The nation of England. That's how good he has been, drifting in and out of those deep midfield positions.
I don't see how you can start Locatelli and Verratti together. I mean, unless Jorginho drops, but Jorginho is the only player from Italy to start three games in the midfield. Yeah. So surely he's not going to be rotated. I think the player in danger of being dropped for Verratti is probably Barella.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean,
he was
the player that all the buzz was about pre-tournament. You know, what a young player, what a young prospect. But I think he's been the worst performing of the four. I mean, Jorginho is structurally crucial. I don't think Mancini is going to drop him in a million years.
Yeah.
And then Locatelli's been the surprise standout. I think Locatelli, Verratti, Jorginho is a fantastic combination. Locatelli's got that box-to-box energy and the goal-scoring ability. Verratti's got the technique and the creativity, and Jorginho keeps the tempo going, recycles possession, plays as that shield in front of the back four. I mean, it's very aggressive, I know, and you don't get Barella's pressing and his defensive side of his game, but I just don't think Locatelli can be dropped after his performance in the second group game.
Yeah, I think that's probably the pleasing thing, is that as much as what Barella is able to provide is pretty important to breaking down teams, especially if you play a more compact system, Locatelli has shown in some way with his forward progression that he can kind of fill in that sort of third man run kind of role. And if you're able to squeeze in Jorginho and Verratti either side of him, like that's a pretty formidable setup, you know, even with Barella on the pine. Like, it's a difficult decision to have to make for Mancini, but equally very good problem to have.
I've had someone ask me in the Twitch who I'm rooting for. I don't know. I don't really have a team in the Euros.
Football. Football's always the winner. As a, who says that?
Sounds like a Partridgeism.
No, it does sound like a Partridgeism. It's not.
I'll let you ponder that. The only European nation I've got a vague connection to is Sweden, but they're so boring. So boring. I'm not Swedish. I just lived there for a couple of years when I was a baby.
Yeah, well, Aussie has saying how crazy is Group E. It has been pretty crazy. It's been pretty wild.
It has been. I think Spain are not as bad as people are making out. It's as if this is a complete catastrophe and, you know, they're complete frauds and they're so boring and so on and so forth. They're creating more chances than anybody else. They've got the highest XG of any of the teams after two group games, not including the teams that have played their third. I think Italy would obviously top that just because, you know, accumulated. But they've created, I think, 6 point something XG.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Morata. It's literally just Morata. People say that tiki-taka is outdated. Yes, it is, but I still think it can work in international football where tactics sort of lag several years behind. They say that Spain are not vertical enough and, you know, they play too slowly. That's probably true, but they still should have won both of these games. I really don't think it's as big a catastrophe as people are making out. It's just the fact that they don't have a striker who can put the ball in the net. Moreno, with his misses as well, didn't inspire confidence. Maybe you throw in Adama Traore in the mix in the front line just to change the pace of the play a little bit in this third game.
Maybe just someone that requires a bit more defensive attention and frees up a Moreno or a Morata for more efforts on goal. But the sort of difficult thing is, while, as you said, and I agree with you, I think they've been better than their results suggest and their chance creation has been good. But a player who's having a difficult time finding the back of the net, it's not really something that you can turn around overnight.
Oh, they might go out. They might get eliminated. But it's not because the team's bad. It's just because they can't score.
Yeah.
Just because they can't finish, I should say.
I mean, how realistic of a possibility is it that, you know, they don't get the result that they need against Slovakia?
I think they'll beat Slovakia. Come on.
But we said that about the other teams in the group.
I mean, the last team to get...
In fairness, Slovakia is of the opponents, the lowest, the easiest of the beats, but still.
I just can't see them beating Slovakia.
Just to be clear, I'm saying this as someone who tipped Spain to make the final. So I'm going against my own interest by suggesting it. But don't count it out. Sardine saying Spain versus England would send the crowd to sleep. Well, prepare to sleep because it's not a bad possibility.
Well, I need to catch up on some sleep, actually. So that might be a good idea. I'm rooting for that fixture. Lockie, what didn't we talk about from the weekend? I think Germany.
Yeah.
We have to address Germany. Should we take a quick message from our sponsors and talk the resurgent Jogi Löw Germany side on the other side of this game?
Yeah,
this break?
I'm quite happy to avoid talking about Germany as much as possible because they made me look quite silly. So we'll have a little sponsor interlude, I think. The Germans are coming, Josh.
Z Germans
are coming. That's what the Portuguese defence was saying. Or specifically one German, Robin Gosens, was coming and causing them a lot of problems.
Gosens. I've really done the research, the hard yards on finding the pronunciation. I've heard about 16 different ways of saying that. There's no umlaut. You do say the G. It's Gosens.
Okay. Well, in any
case, consider yourself informed.
In any case, he was so good. That's me trying to claw back some German respectability against Portugal. And they just did not have an answer, Josh.
No, it was a very strange game. Two own goals. I mean, own goal has been in great form this tournament. A lot more prolific than Alvaro Morata. Yeah, I think it's almost the top scorer in the tournament, isn't it? 5 own goals so far?
Yikes.
4 of them have been almost exactly the same as well.
Yeah, always a good sell for a tournament, isn't it? When they've all, the own goal is
we just
the
can't stop
scorer.
Scoring ourselves. It's almost always been an action replay of a ball in behind a fullback, a low cross hammered across the area, and then just a ricochet off an unlucky defender
and
into
someone just
net.
Not dealing with it at all. Yeah.
So Hummels against France, there were the two this time, Rafael Guerrero and Ruben Diaz. There was also Demiral in the first game, Italy. All
yes, that's
pretty
right.
much the exact same goal in action replay, whether it was a cross in for the left or right. I don't know what that says tactically about the tournament. I'm sure there's some like profound conclusion we could come to. Maybe that the fullbacks are pressing too high and it leaves you vulnerable to a ball over the top.
I think with respect to this game, it's certainly not an unreasonable way of looking things. I mean, Nelson Semedo and Rafael Guerrero, the way they're instructed to play, they do like to push up quite a lot, get themselves forward, get involved in the attack, does provide that space in behind, which Robin
Gorsens
used to full effect against Portugal, who you had tipped as winners for this tournament. Are there panic stations in the Portuguese nation, Josh?
I don't think so. This was a very specific tactical foible that befell Portugal. I do think the Portuguese coach is a little bit too conservative for his own good, but I say that about a lot of national coaches. But it was the width that Germany were playing with, the two wingbacks. I don't know if any other nation at this tournament plays with wingbacks as creative and as attack-minded as Germany does. Certainly not in a 3-4-3. So they were switching the ball from one side to the other. Portugal are instructed to basically defend the width of their penalty area, and also their fullbacks get pretty high in possession because they lack penetration from central midfield, so they have to get numbers forward somehow. Playing Carvalho and Danilo in the same midfield I think is unsustainable.
I don't think either of us are a huge fan of that comp.
I just think Danilo Pereira has to be dropped. They've got too many good creative central midfielders and attackers to leave them both plugging up that midfield with their extremely slow, lumbering defensive work. Carvalho is, I think, a smarter player than Danilo. I think he makes up for his lack of pace with good positional awareness. Danilo is just a physical presence, and I really don't think he should be playing international football, in all honesty. I think he's completely overrated at a club level. I don't know why PSG signed him. Maybe it was just a Leonardo sabotaging Tuchel transfer, but I was stunned that he went to such a big club. So anyway, going back to the tactical setup, I mean, Germany did play well in this game, but it was just because their biggest strength was also Portugal's biggest weakness.
But does it not, you know, you mentioned the conservatism of Fernando Santos before. The fact that that was Portugal's biggest, maybe if it's their biggest weakness, that he's sort of throwing his hands up and saying, you know, there's nothing I can do to change this. But it was very obvious from early on in this game that Portugal were getting slaughtered down the flanks because of that attacking output that the wingbacks were providing. And it just was this weird situation where at no point did Santos seem to react to that in this game.
Yeah, like he just was like very passive, wasn't it?
Was it sort of he tried to change something and it wasn't obvious to me, or was it a case of him realizing there's not really much we can do about this? Because if other teams are seeing this who have got decent fullbacks who can push forward and attack. I mean, France have certainly got, you know, we've seen that they have their own issues defensively, but we've seen that they've certainly got two fullbacks who can do a good job of bombing forward and causing a threat from wide areas. Would teams not be looking at this and sort of seeing, well, if they can't make a change to rectify this situation, then obviously this presents a pretty good way to causing them trouble?
Yeah, I think the other problem in this game was also Kroos and Gundogan had too much time on the ball. They were always able to get at least one of them free, and that's something that they didn't have in the France game. France were putting a lot more pressure on in central midfield with Kante. Pogba actually did a great job defensively in that game, which is something we don't often say about him. So if you give Toni Kroos 10 yards to play raking long switches, then he's going to kill you. If you press him, then he's nowhere near as effective. So Portugal just played too deep, they played too narrow, and they, are obviously brilliant on the counter-attack, but when you're playing so close to your own goal and just sort of shrinking and almost turtling, going into your shell, if Germany will punish you. They do move the ball very well from side to side, and I thought they really prepared well for this game. I think Portugal's setup complemented what they were doing, but I was really impressed with Thomas Muller. I just thought he's so intelligent with his movement, but also just it's so obvious that he's giving instructions to everybody else on the field. But
when are you like really? When are you not impressed by Thomas Muller? And I'm not saying that about you specifically. I just mean that generally. Like anytime you watch that guy move around off the ball, like he's one of the only. I don't really like watching just an individual player for a whole game. Like I'm not. Back in the early 2010s A-League days, I was never a big advocate of the Heskey cam, for example, just looking at one player. But I would pay premium to have that for Thomas Muller, to just watch that guy go around and do his thing because he is so, so intelligent.
Well,
and
if he's not on screen, you can usually hear him.
Yeah.
He's always shouting.
And thank God we can hear and see him because the way the German national team were having problems with him and Mats Hummels as well, it very nearly wasn't the case. And I think Germany are a massive beneficiary of that particular about-face.
I'm not sure that bringing Hummels back was the best idea, in all honesty, but bringing Muller back definitely helps them. He actually, I don't know if you're aware of his nickname, Lucky. Not Raum Deuter, the other
not
one.
Space Investigator.
No, Space Interpreter.
Space Interpreter, my bad.
He's also known as Radio Muller, just because he never shuts up on the pitch. He's been like that since his youth team days.
I like that.
So it's almost like having an extra coach out there, which I think Jogi Löw these days needs as much coaching help as possible. So.
Yeah, well, Germany play Hungary on Thursday morning at 5 a.m., that one running concurrently with the France-Portugal game, which is the neutral's delight.
Did
I
you
guess.
Notice the ground announcer in the Hungary game getting rudely interrupted and slightly terrified by the Hungarian celebrations?
Yes, I did notice that.
So good. Apparently the player who scored tried to run and celebrate in front of the crowd, but he realised he'd run to the wrong part and he'd run straight in front of the France fans, so he had to improvise.
See, the still lingering in the memory, Emmanuel Adebayor just says, you know, if you get to that end of the field...
You may as well.
You may, you know, if you realise the France fans are over there and you can't celebrate with the fans of your native nation, just do a massive knee slide in front of them. No, I mean, I've seen worse ideas. But you're not giving Hungary any chance of an upset?
I definitely would. If they can...
Does lightning strike twice?
If they can play with the same intensity that they've brought to these two games, I think sometimes in the third group game when you've got a thin squad, you can't rotate as much, it can drop off. They've been riding a sort of emotional wave with the support of the crowd and the home games and so forth. Against Germany, I think they will tire out a little quicker just because of the accumulated fatigue. So I would lean towards Germany in this game, getting the job done pretty comfortably. But I definitely wouldn't rule them out getting a result. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to do enough to get through.